Before I left on vacation over the last several years, folks have been asking me this recurring question over and over. Where have all the godly men gone? What happened to us? There was a time where men were something. Amen. We were fierce. Unafraid. Not fierce in a bad way. Fierce in a good way. There was a time where men would stand up for righteousness. For holiness. For goodness. There's a time when that greatest generation. Amen. Where men knew what was right and what was wrong. How to stand for it. And were willing to die. For holiness.
Amen.
Something's happened to those guys. Mm-hmm. Somehow, somewhere, we've lost him. But praise God, it's not gone forever. It's just hidden a little bit right now. I still believe that there is a core of men willing to take the stand for the holiness of God. There's still fathers who will fight for their families. There's still those who will stick with it. We're not going to be moved. There's always a remnant. So what does the Bible say about true biblical masculinity? What does it look like? And why can't we see it so much today? I'm sure that most of us don't even really remember what it looked like because we've been so many generations past where true men are so hard to find. Seems like men have lost their grounding in the Bible. We've lost our standing. We've forgotten what it is to be real godly men. This is Father's Day. Amen? So Dad, this is for us. Amen? I want to tell you this before I get started, that this is something I struggled with in my younger years. I didn't know what it was like to be a man. Nobody taught me what it was like to stand in the Bible, to stand for what was right. And I was blown around by every wind of doctrine, every pretty shiny thing, you know. And I would run for this thing or for that thing. And I would focus on those things instead of the one true important person in Jesus Christ. It's happened over years where we have moved away from the holiness of God. And as I was thinking about this concept and running it through my mind, the subject of the woman's empowerment movement and feminism was the first thing that came to my mind. And I wrote some things down when I was on vacation. I read them to my wife and she said, "Are you going to start that way?" I love my wife. There's a reason God called her woman. And so, because, you know, there's feminism is not the problem. Amen? It's kind of like when Adam said, "God, is the woman you gave me. It's her fault." That's not, that is the outcome of a deeper spiritual battle that's been going on. Amen? So we can pick at scabs. But picking at scabs will never heal the wound. The only way to heal the wound properly and to get men back on the right understanding of what manhood really is to go to the core of where it began. Right. Because remember, we're in the physical world, but we're fighting spiritual warfare.
That's right.
All right? And what has happened over the 100 years or so since this thing has begun, that first woman's movement was very much needed in America in the 1900s. That was, women didn't have a right to vote, they didn't have a right to buy property, they were not paid wages for their labor, and they weren't able to keep the wages that they made. That was wrong, right? That was, and that was absolutely outside of the realms of what should be. In fact, we need to be bringing up women in that Proverbs 31 type, you know? And those women, they bought, they sold, they took care of the household, they were business owners, right? That's a godly, when a man finds a woman like that, he's found a good thing, amen? And so, but we have lost, we lost that. And the women needed to stand up and start making a stand and say, this far, no further. Listen, we are all made in the image and the likeness of God, right? And women have just as much rights as men have. So as I was preparing this, I was thinking of things, and so much was wrong in my mindset. God reminded me in Galatians chapter 3 and 28 where He says, there's neither Jew or Greek. There's neither bound nor free. There's neither male or female. Amen? For we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? We are equal. We're across the board. We're equal. So how did we get in this weird thing that we're in, where men are ashamed to be men nowadays? How did that happen? Well, with the righteous woman's movement from the 1900s, it changed in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and even the 2000s. It has actually become the modern feminist movement went from getting equal biblical rights to warring against masculinity as a whole. Nowadays, they call it toxic. If you're born a male, it's toxic masculinity. God forbid. Right? God forbid. There should not be. And the reason that masculinity is considered toxic is because men have been moving further and further away from the godly reasoning of manhood.
Amen.
All right? And when we get all in our macho self, I'm here to pump you up. You get that mindset, the stereotypes of men and warriors and Rambo and all that junk. That is ungodly. That's not what men are supposed to be.
Amen.
Right? That's not what God sees men as. That's what Hollywood sees men in. And part of that's toxic masculinity, right? But the real masculine, God-fearing man, because society has painted manhood in such a way, we have lost track of what God says men ought to be.
Amen.
Amen? So we need to come back. Yeah. Let's roll the pages back. All right? And we are not against feminism. I am blessed that my wife is a girl. Amen?
Okay.
Praise God. My wife is a woman. She's all woman. All right? I love her femininity. I really do. I think it's a blessing. And her up next to my old callous nastiness makes me a better man. Right? She comes along beside me. And she fulfills the hardness and the callousness that I have. She softens me up. Amen? And that's the way God meant it to be. God looked into men and said, listen, dudes, it's not good for you to be alone.
That's right.
Yeah, that is messed up. Let me make something most precious. It was the last creation of God. He had Adam go to sleep, and he pulled out a rib or something out of his side, and he made this beautiful, strong, but fragile, beautiful creation. Amen? And we as men ought not push that down. We cover it with mercy and grace, and we become the wall on which a strong woman can lean on and grow.
Amen.
And she can produce fruit. Amen? And what has happened in through society, through the mispainting of what manhood really is, we as men have lost that footing. This is not a new thing, I'll have you know. This spirit that we're fighting against is not feminism, all right? It is the spirit of Jezebel.
Amen.
All right? Is Jezebelism. Ism means a doctrine that people follow. Now Jezebel, if you go back to 1 Kings, you look at her life and who she was, there's some things that she did. She worshipped Baal. Alright? She worshipped having sex and having babies and offering those babies to an iron god made by hand, Baal. And what they would do is more like abortion today. They would take their children, and they would cast it on this brazen altar until that child was... And she worshipped that. That's what she did. Much of the modern feminism movement is like that. You've seen them on TV with their pink hats, stuff like that. Nothing wrong with pink hats, but what they're saying, amen? Because George wears pink hats all winter long. Now, he's not a girly man. He's a man. But he's just kind of an old hippie, right? So, I love him. He's just that way. But this spirit of Jezebel that has permeated our society has actually spiritually neutered men.
Right.
All right? And we need to, men, we need to get godly manhood back in our lives. We need to start understanding what the battle is really about and start fighting that battle.
Amen.
And remember, this isn't male against female. We're fighting battles in the spiritual realms here. This is the spirit of Jezebel that has been alive even before Jezebel was alive, but she was the first woman in the Bible really to exude these properties of anti-human, I don't like to call it humanism, but anti-mankind. All right? She didn't like women. She didn't like men. Right? She didn't like human beings at all. She lied. She cheated. She stole. There's nothing good about this woman at all. And as she died, that spirit that was in her started ravaging women and men, you know, throughout history, all the way to the time that we are, that we live in today. And so I said all that, right, to get us on a trajectory to where we might be headed. Because I want to encourage men, I want to encourage moms, I want to encourage sons, I want to encourage daughters, I want to encourage this nation. It's time for us to rise up and get back to the Bible.
Amen?
Amen. It's time for us to get out of our own minds, out of what the spirit of wickedness is causing in America.
Amen.
And come back to the cornerstone, Jesus the Christ, and what He said men ought to be, and what He said how men ought to live. This biblical account of feminism, and it's not the real problem, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, if you'll turn there real quick. Now, when I get into this, what we're talking about is the end times things, as he's saying, and chapter 3, he's talking about the great apostasy. I might as well start in verse 1. Starting in verse 2 is always silly. Amen. So starting in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Have you been watching some things? It's pretty perilous right now, isn't it? In the last time some perilous things are going to happen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All right, so in the last times, you're going to see the spiritual thing overtaking the world, the church, those people. You're going to see some things happening. And we need to be prepared. There will be folks that are lovers of themselves. I want my way. All right? Right now, that the flavor of the week, all right, is Black Lives Matter. And what do they want you to do? Bow down to them. All right? That is the spirit of Jezebel.
Right.
All right? This is a spiritual battle. And the Jezebel, although she was a female, it has nothing to do with male and female. This is a spiritual warfare that we're experiencing. These are perilous times that we're living in. And the problem is the whole society of the world has been sucked into this that we just saw, that we just read. All right, now, as we look into this just a little deeper, I could go through those natural objections, truth makers, all those things. We could talk about those, but that, again, is picking scabs and missing the wound. That's picking scabs and leaving the splinter alone. We need to get down under the scab and pull that wickedness out. and examine that wickedness in such a way that we can be not just conquerors, but more than conquerors, because Christ is going to give us the answer as we unfold this thing. And so in verse 6, he says, of this sort, of the sort that he just talked about, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, all right, of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive civil, silly women laden with sins, led away by desirous lust. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he talks about a couple people that were of that type. Now, not picking on ladies. This is silly people, all right? I'm going to take the women part out of this. Now, when we start listening to false doctrines, doctrines of demons, we start moving away from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they come in, this spirit comes into people that are prepared to be plucked.
Amen.
All right? They're prepared to be plucked. And that spirit comes into their house, and first thing they do is they take the women away. All right, that's why in the very beginning when sin entered in, the serpent, Lucifer, came to Eve before he came to Adam. And he came to Eve and he touched her in the heart and said, really, did God truly say this? Right? Let me just deceive you a little bit, you know, really. And she wasn't taught the whole truth because she didn't quote the Bible, the instructions of God, right? Because when Satan asked her about the tree, and she said, we should not touch it lest we die. Well, God didn't say don't touch it. God said don't eat it. Because if you eat it, then in dying you shall die. But somehow she thought that if I touched it, I'm going to die. And Lucifer took that little misteaching right there and said, go ahead and touch it. If you touch it, you're not going to die. So she touched it. He said, all right, well, now that you touched it, if you eat it, you're going to be like God, knowing right from wrong, good and evil. And so Satan touched her right where she wanted to, right where that the desire of humankind is.
Amen.
And she wanted to know more. So she ate of the fruit. And when she ate of the fruit, sin entered in. But Adam was with her and didn't say anything. Read the account through Genesis. Adam was with her, didn't say anything. But he also took part of the fruit. And when he took part of the fruit, this demonic spirit overcast all that was good and started a perversion of righteousness.
Amen.
Way back there. And through Adam, all have sinned.
Yeah.
When God came to them in the cool of the evening, He stepped into the garden. He said, hey, Eve, what'd you do, sis? Is that what he said? No, come on, guys. You know the Bible. He said, Adam, where are you? So the man was still responsible because man was set up as the head. And the woman was brought in as a helpmeet. All right? Together they could have beaten this problem. But they were separate and they didn't have the same mindset at the very onset. And in that caused this great falling away that we're experiencing today. I'm skipping over lots of generations. It started out good and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until today. And we are corrupt from the very core. And because of this movement of Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel throughout society, we have lost contact of who men and women are supposed to be.
Amen.
Right? Because God has a hierarchy. God has a plan. He has a charge. Christ is the head, then there's the neck, and then there's the rest of the body. There's the family. The man's supposed to be the head. The woman's supposed to be the part that keeps the head together. Right? Right? And so because I don't know if you guys noticed it, without a woman, we're like half a man.
Uh-huh.
Amen? That's it. That's just what it is. I cannot do this without my wife. Because she comes along beside me and she strengthens my weakened parts. And I cover her with the grace and the goodness and the knowledge of God. Right? I strengthen her and she strengthens me.
Amen.
And together we are one flesh. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten that. We've gotten away from that. We're more like women on one side, men on the other side. I am woman, hear me roar, watch me pass out on the floor, right? Or remember how that song went, right? On the other side, the other polar side is I'm big and bad, tough man, and I'm going to sit on the couch and drink brewskis while my wife is out mowing the lawn. Both of those are horribly wrong.
Amen.
That's not how it's supposed to be, but that, unfortunately, is the way that it is. So, how do you fix it? How do you fix it? Amen? You got to come back and be the man that God has called you.
Amen.
But you got to know what that is. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 and 31, Ezekiel saying, God speaking to Ezekiel, God saying, I have sought for a man among them that would make up a hedge and stand the gap before me, before Jehovah, all right, for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. All right, look at what God is speaking to Ezekiel right to start with. He says, listen, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for somebody who's able to stand the gap. All right? Evil's on one side, righteousness on the other. And he's looking for a warrior. He's looking for a man that's not deceived, that knows the truth of God and where his power and might comes from. See, the power and might that I'm talking about is not of human type, but it comes from God. My power, my strength comes from the Lord God. My ability to stand is through my humbleness and my obedience to the Word of God. And God said, I'm looking all over the earth. I'm looking all over Israel. I'm looking for a man that's willing to say, this far and no further.
Amen.
Wife, I love you. Come along beside me. Don't leave me. Don't crush me. Don't neuter me. But help me to be what I need to be. Right? He's looking for a man who's willing to say, I love God. And I want to be a servant to the family. I love God, and I want to be the first one to pray. I love God, and I will stand at the door, and no evil will pass by me. I'm willing to stand in front of the TV set, and if that ungodly manure comes in my house, I'm going to take a baseball bat, and I'm going to crash it to the ground.
Amen.
Right? He's looking for a man that would say, I love you more than I love football. He's looking for a man to say, I want to lead my family in honor and grace and goodness and teach them the ways of God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right? That's what he's looking for. But he said, unfortunately, I looked and I didn't find one. God's still looking today for
Amen.
That man. He's still looking today. And you know what? You could be that man. You could be that man in your family. You could be that man that fights the good fight. You can be that man that takes on the spiritual warfare. And you know how you fight spiritual warfare? Put them up. Go ahead, I dare you. No, you don't do it that way. That's the power of your might. You know how you do it, men? You fall on your knees before the Most High God, and you confess it. You lay it out before Him. You come to your wife, and you lay your hands on her, and you say, darling, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up before the Lord God, because the battle is strong. The fight is hard, and I need you beside me to win this fight. Right? And then you take your sons, ladies, you take your sons and you teach them that it's okay to be a man.
Amen.
It's okay to be a little loud once in a while. Amen? We have taken our children from the onset of school and we have doped them down.
Right?
ADD.
Yeah.
I can add as good as anybody. ADHD, I don't know what. There's so many things. And the first thing they do when a little boy starts acting like a little boy, they dope them.
Amen.
They paralyze their mind. They put them on these mind-altering drugs that they'll sit in the corner and blow bubbles.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because we're hard to handle. You know why? We're men. We are hard to handle. Until God gives us a whoa, man. Right?
Amen.
Makes it a lot easier. You know, because you love her. You want to be with her. You don't want to do anything to hurt her. So in verse 31, he says, because I did not find none, I found no man to stand the gap or make the hedge. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire, and my wrath of their own way I have recompensed or repaid upon their heads, saith the Lord. God said, since there wasn't a man, there wasn't anybody to stand the gap, there wasn't anyone to say this far and no further, I'm going to let them have the fullness of their desire. I'm going to pour my wrath on their disobedience. I'm going to pour my wrath because there's not a man out there that will stand up and say, I am not going to do that because it's against God's word. And see, we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church, freely giving himself for her. You know what that means, guys? Turn off the stupid box and do what you're supposed to do, right? You know what that means? That when Bible study happens in that house, you open your Bible. You know what that means? Your kids ought to hear you praying for them on your face, calling their name out before the Most High God. You know what that means, Ben? You want to be a man of God that will be able to fight this fight, fight this Jezebelian spirit out? You want to know what that's going to take? Come on, put on your big boy pants. Gird yourself like a man because it's about ready to get hot. All right? You're going to have to be willing to make that stand. You're going to have to be willing to have a broken and a contrite heart. You're going to have to be willing to be hated by your peers that you can stand for your family. You're going to have to be willing to grab a hold with both hands to the construct of the family and not let go. You're going to have to not watch the cheerleading or the, I don't even know what's on TV anymore. But wait a second. Bam! Just came to me. Remember, Father Knows Best, the old TV show?
Yes.
And now they got Modern Family.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the difference of those two? It is a perversion what they're telling us men are supposed to be nowadays.
Yes.
Back in the day, back when men were men, and they were not afraid or ashamed to cry and be broken, they weren't afraid to put their hands in the fire and pull out the gold. Amen? There were times when a man would stand and say, this is right and that's wrong. And you, my family, I love you. You're not going to pass by that way. And I will make darn sure that you don't.
Yeah.
Not because I want to hurt you, but because I want to lead you into righteousness. Not because I want to stop you from being what you need to be, but that I can become that wall that you can fully grow up and you can be all the fruitfulness that God has in you.
Amen.
That's what a real man's all about. Forgive me, God, because I was not that man. I wasn't that man. I am today. I'm better today than I was then, but when I was a... Nobody ever showed me these things. And I believe in the homes and because of technology, because of TV and radio and all that garbage that we're putting into our spiritual inlets, our eyes, our minds, our ears. What we're putting in is so corrupt and so polluted that we've lost contact with what's real.
Amen.
You know, if you eat hamburger, rotten cheap hamburger, all your life, and somebody calls that a steak, you'll grow up your whole life thinking that's a T-bone.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Until you get the real thing. And you get the real thing, you say, oh man, this is different than what I've been eating my whole life. That's what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. It's the real thing, baby. Right? It's what men need to cut their teeth on, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's where men need to stand in humble obedience to the Most High God. It's where men need to don to put on the fullness of God in their life. And to lead their families into that. Yeah, that means that we might have to turn off the stupid box.
You think?
Amen? Amen? Yeah, dude, you think? Yeah. It means that we might need to gather our family around the kitchen table. And husbands, take your wives by the hand and say, sweetheart, let's read something together. And open it up and discuss it like a family. So, yeah, you don't know where to start? Try the Psalms or Proverbs. Oh, dads, you want to know how to be a dad? Open up and Proverbs. Amen, sister? Proverbs. Oh, man, you'll learn some stuff. And when you have your help meet beside you and you're going over those things, and you say, well, I think it means this. And she says, I think it means that. And you say, what do we need to do? Don't Google it, okay? Just read on. Amen? Read on a little bit. Because the Bible will answer those questions for itself.
Amen.
All right? You write those questions down, and then you go on your side, and she goes on her side, and you all read your Bibles like this. And then you come back together and say, well, God showed me this. Well, God showed me that. And you know what? Between the two of them, you got the whole story.
Amen.
You got the fullness of it. But first, it needs men to take a stand as a man of God in the home. Because Jezebel, that spirit sent straight out of hell, is firing at the foundations of the family. And if I can take the man out of the family, if I can take the woman and make the man feel like he's worthless, all right? Now listen, ladies, I ain't getting on you too hard. I want to let you know what's happening. If the women say, I'm going to take charge of the family, and I'm going to make this work, you know what you've done? You just cut the testicles off of your husband. All right? That sounds harsh, but that is what you've done. Why? Because, hey, well, he wouldn't do it my way. Well, praise God, maybe he shouldn't do it your way. Maybe he needs to make some mistakes on his own. You know how guys learn? By falling on their face.
That's right.
Right? But if the wife always gets in the face of the man and says, no, you can't do it your way, you've got to do it my way, you know what the man's going to do? He's going to sit down on the couch, he's going to pick up the clicker.
Amen.
Yeah. He's going to start flicking through the channels. All right, sis, you want to do it your way? Go for it, man. You want to mow the lawn? I don't have to. I'm going to watch Kung Fu Theater or whatever, you know? And that's what's happening in America today. Women are taking the place of the man in the home. Which is part of the curse. God said your desire shall be for him. It's not that you're going to have a sexual desire for your husband. It means that your desire is going to be for his leadership. All right? And all of us, even my wife, praise God for her, but she tried to rule me. All right? She did. When we first got together, she's, here you go, baby. I said, all right, honey. No. I love you, but I ain't doing that. Well, it's wrong the way you're doing it. And I said, well, then I'll stand before God and I'll be judged for that. But I'm going to do it this way. And often she was right. You know? But you know, a beautiful thing about my wife, she didn't rub my face in it, but maybe for 4 or 5 years after that. Right? But she understood after she came to a right relationship of who she is in Christ. And after I started saying, honey, I need to make this on my own. Right? So it's going to take two things. Men, you need to man up. Right? You say, all right, it might be wrong the way I'm going to do it, but I need to do it this way that I can learn. All right? And it's up to the women to come along beside you and say, honey, I don't think you ought to do it that way. Right? I really don't think you should. But, you're the head of the house. God's going to judge you. Now what my wife says, straight up, I'll be saying something, she'll say, is that right, pastor? maybe I need to rethink this thing, right? But we come together and we do those things. She doesn't rule the household. She's my helpmeet. All right, this spirit of Jezebel comes and they try to rule, command the home. They try to command the things that are going on. No, you can't do this, husband. Yes, you can do this, husband. And after a while, the husband says, you know, I just don't want to fight with you anymore. I just don't want to fight. It's not worth it. If you want to do it that way, sis, I love you. But, you know, the sad thing is, men, you'll still be held accountable for her screw-up. Ask Eve. Right? Amen. God didn't say, hey, Eve, what did you do? He came and said, hey, Adam, what did you allow to happen? Now, that means that there's going to be some frustration, some friction in your home. You know what friction does? It knocks off the hard spots as iron sharpens iron, right? So, me and my wife, we don't always see eye to eye. We scrub sometimes. Amen? That scrubbing is a good thing.
Yes.
It does two things. It strengthens her and it strengthens me. And it shows our children that we can disagree and still live.
Right. Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. We can disagree and we can still go forward in the holiness of God. So if you look at Jezebel in 1 Kings 16, you just look at 16 through 18. We're not going to go through all those chapters, all right? Praise God, right? And so, but if you look at it, we talked about it, she worshipped Baal. She had an evil heart. She was vile. She was lustful. She was self-centered. She was narcissistic. You know what narcissistic means? All right, it's got to be your way. You're right no matter what anybody else thinks. Any of y'all women have that problem? Any of you men have that problem? Amen? No, not you, George. Right? So that has, it's a spiritual battle. It doesn't really mean male or female.
Amen.
Right? All of these things. I can be self-centered. Right? I'm a man. I can have an evil heart. And that's all from Jezebel. That's that spirit, that's an evil, demonic spirit from Jezebel. I can be cold and ruthless, and so can women. All right, so it's not male and female here. This is a spiritual battle that's going on between the two. Cold, ruthless, manipulative. All of those things are the attributes of that Jezebelian spirit. So how do we fight? Remember, we started talking about this from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. See this Jezebelian spirit that's ruling America and telling men that they're really not men anymore? That is the spirit of Jezebel.
Amen.
All right? That is a demonic power in America, and it's affecting males and females. So how are we going to fight that? Men, there's open, if you will, your Bibles. Right? To Ephesians. Say amen when you get there, because it's pretty important that you see it. That this is not the gospel of Curtis, I'll have you know. Ephesians chapter 6. Glad I'm starting this now, because it's just past 12 and I can start out finally, my brethren. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What are we supposed to do? Be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might?
His
might. Does that mean it's my might? No, because I can't fight this fight. It's a spiritual fight. It's a power in the heavenly places. If it was me and Mark fighting, I got a man I can fight with. Right? I can do something like that. But this is a spiritual battle that's coming outside of my time-space continuum. Star Trek thing. Right? And it's outside of my realm of understanding. This is why first we need to know that we need to be strong in the Lord, because the Lord knows the spiritual side of this thing and not just the physical thing. I need to be in the power of His might, not in the power of my might. We need to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of Beelzebub, of the devil, of Jezebel. All right? We need to be able to stand against those things. First, we need to start recognizing when that spirit is in our house.
That's right.
Right? We need to recognize when Jezebel moves in.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can start out real good, but all of a sudden there's a power struggle. The woman wants it her way, the man wants it his way. But neither of you look to find God's way.
Amen.
Amen. We need God's way. We need Yahweh, not my way, not your way. We need His way. Amen. And so we need that whole armor of God that we can stand against that. It says in verse 12, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities and against powers, against rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places, right? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Do you think Paul's trying to tell something? What's he trying to run away like a coward? Don't fight? Is that what he said? He said, stand up, gird yourself like a man, stand up, do the right thing, find out what the Bible says, do that thing.
Amen.
Right? Whatever the Bible says, do it. Prepare yourself like a man. Be a husband. Be a father. Be the best worker on the job site. Do the hard things in life because God requires that of you. Amen?
Amen.
This is Father's Day. Amen? It's time to understand that we are in a fight for the souls of the family. We're in a fight for the soul of America. We're in a fight for the souls of righteousness. We're in a fight for God. We're here to stand in the gap in the wicked day.
Amen.
We need to know how to pray.
Amen.
We need to know how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen?
And it's not against your wife. It's not against feminism. Like I said before, I am glad my wife is 100% woman. Right? She is woman. And she purrs. Amen? She purrs. She is a wonderful, wonderful blessing from God. And if it wasn't for her, I would not be who I am. She made me complete through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Hallelujah.
She strengthened me. She came along and she was a helper. She didn't rule over me. She didn't try to boss me around. She made sure I was allowed to make my own mistakes. And she didn't rub my face in it for long. Now, I say for long because right after it happened, she had to say, "See, I told you so." And once I admitted, "Yes, honey, you told me so. I should have not done that," it goes away.
Amen.
Right? Now, wives, if you like to rub it in your husband's face for years and years and months and months and years and years and years, stop it. Stop it. Because the more you push him down, the more he'll stop leading.
That's right.
That's just a fact.
That's right.
Because I will not fight a fight I cannot win. I'm a man. That's what we are. Long as I think I can win, long as I can be a victor, long as I can help, long as I can fix it, because that's what men do, fix it, right? Now, as long as I feel like, even if I can't fix it, if I think I can fix it, I will twist on that nut until my arms break, right? Amen, men? Right? But if I get the feeling that my wife doesn't support me in the fight, it's over. I'll quit doing it. You want to know where all the real men are? Unfortunately, they're covered up by your purse straps. Right? They're covered up by your skirt. Women, let your men go. Let them lead. Let them fight this good fight of faith that we're talking about here. Let them stand having their loins girt with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let us have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, we need to take the shield of faith. I think I skipped some there, didn't I? Take on the whole arm I'm standing there for. Oh, with the blood. I guess I didn't. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench those fiery darts of Jezebel. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, she's wicked. That spirit is wicked. And how are we supposed to fight that? With that armor of God.
Sure.
With the shield of faith. Men, do you really have faith that you are leaders? Let me ask you guys, do you believe that God has called you to lead? Because if you don't believe that, you will not lead. But if you believe that because God has given you that, you will be the leader that God wants you to be. And the leader that God wants you to be is one with a broken and a contrite heart.
Amen.
He doesn't need Rambo. Right? He doesn't need Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever. He doesn't need this super-duper, arm-pumped-up, steroid-induced drunkard sitting on the couch, bossing and screaming at his wife and kids. You know what he needs? He needs men, real men, that are able to confess when they're wrong and strengthen that point. He needs men that will stand beside, allow their family to grow up on them. Right? You're the wall, right, that the roses grow on. She's the rose. She's the plant that makes those children those roses.
Amen.
Right? And so as a man, you get covered up. Your word may never be seen on the outside. And that's okay. Because if you're there and you're standing with Christ Jesus and you have the armor of God on, you have the holiness of God on, and all you do is raise up godly seed and strengthen your wife to everything that she's supposed to be. And women, do you know what you're supposed to be? Anyone know what you're supposed to be?
God.
Help me. Amen.
Help me.
You're supposed to be the helpmeet. That's what God made you to be. You are the one who comes along beside and helps the man. You're not to rule the man. You're not to boss the man around. You're not supposed to bend the man into your image. But you're supposed to help him to become the image of God. And husbands, it's not your job to conquer the woman, to beat her up, to be nasty to her, to rule her with a rod of iron. You're supposed to support her and help her to grow up into the righteousness that God has for her.
Amen.
And together, you raise up godly seed. So what do you need to do now? Well, we're talking about this armor of God that we're supposed to put on, fully and wholly. How we're supposed to stand. Above all, verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench those fiery darts, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Alright, so look at this. Understand the helmet of salvation. You're saved. You're set apart. You're made righteous before God. Do you live like that? Is that part of your lifestyle every day, in and out, men? Because he's asking you to stand. He's asking you to have your feet shod with the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Not of war, right? Not of kicking around doors and making nasty, hollering, screaming noises. That's not the COVID-19. I swallowed spit. Sorry. Y'all ever do that?
Huh? I know I do that.
Do you? Bless your soul.
Keep your humble fast.
There you go. And so, we need to take that understanding of who we are in Christ, that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God.
Yeah.
Whose sword is this? It's God's. It's His sword. So we need to handle this word with great care.
Amen.
This is not your word. This is His word. And remember, the Word of God is sharp. Amen? Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. Right? This is not your battle axe. Wives, you don't beat your husband with this. Husbands, you don't beat your wives with this. You come together with this and allow the Holy Spirit to cut the cancer out of your family.
Amen.
That's what this is for. It's His sword to wield. It's His sword, it's His word that cuts into the marrow of a marriage. That separates the flesh from the spirit. How do I know when I'm following God is when I line up with this word.
Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, be obedient to your husbands. Now, I know a lot of women don't like that word. That's because of the feminist movement. When it says obedient, it doesn't mean that the husband has the right to beat you over the head and to boss you around. Thank you, kind sir. That's not what it means. Being obedient means you come along beside him and y'all move together.
Amen.
Right? You don't fight against him on things. And if he makes a mistake, right? So what? Ladies, have you ever made a mistake? Besides marrying him? No. I married up in a big way. Amen. But we move together. We don't move apart.
Amen.
We stay together. We don't separate. We pray together. Sometimes we disagree with each other. And you know what? That's okay. That's helpful.
Amen.
It's okay. She does not have to agree with me. It's better if she does. No. But she doesn't have to do that. And that's okay. See, to be a true man of God, a true godly man, you need to know what this Word of God does and how to use it properly. And the sword is the, and it says in verse 18, this is super, probably the biggest part, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Men, do you know? I think this is really what changed my wife, because she was a she-woman man-hater when I met her, right? Just bra-burning chick. Right? She's from Rochester, New York. I'm from Slidell, Louisiana. A little different there. And so, but anyhow, she was,
I'm woman. I'm woman. I'm getting woman.
Right? And so she's tough as gristle, but I loved her anyhow. What really changed her is praying for her.
Right.
Not praying at her, but coming along beside her and laying my hands on her and just lifting her before the Lord. That's what made the difference. It wasn't the great lover that I was. It wasn't the massive amounts of money. It wasn't my tall stature.
Was your education?
It wasn't my education. It wasn't my smartness. You know what it was? Is showing her that I treasure her enough to hold her up before God. That's what changed her. Amen? Man, if we will do that, we'll take the Word, the Spirit, the Spirit's Word, His sword, and we together use that as that scalpel to cut the dead stuff out, to get rid of the wars that are in us wanting our own way. And we get that out of the way because of what the Bible says, and we really start ministering. Do you know what ministering means? Serving. Really start serving the family. Pouring my wants away that I might build the body, the family,
Amen. The
way that it needs to be built. See, that Jezebel spirit, it works on both sides, male and female. It makes you proud and arrogant, self-willed. It turns the righteousness that God has for the family into something so perverted that the family can't stand. So it's not male against female, and it's not all on the men, it's not all on the women. This thing that has permeated our society is a wicked spirit sent straight out of the pits of hell. And until we start realizing that's what it is and start fighting the good fight, we will continually lose men.
Amen.
So what are you going to do? You got a whole year till next Father's Day. Amen. Y'all might even have a baby between now and then. Only them granola babies. No, some of us figured out what causes that and stopped.
But
I'm sorry. I'm getting bad that way. God wants men. He really does. And He has already shown us what He expects, right?
Amen.
Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. God's already shown you what's good. What is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
Right? What does God want out of the husband, out of the wife, out of the family unit? It's pretty simple. Do what's right before God. Do just things.
Amen.
If you're letting perversion come into your house on cable TV or on rap or rock and roll records or that kind of garbage, husbands, take a stand. All right? And if you're the cause of that garbage coming into the house, repent and you make yourself squared away. Right? I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids, but if your children are playing, what are they called? They're not video games anymore, or are they? Any of those I got to kill you more, right? They jump in off an airplane. I don't know. They're killing things, or Grand Theft Auto, or Pac-Man, right? Those kind of garbage things. Space Invaders. I don't know. Last time I played video games, Space Invaders was a new thing. Right? So it's been a while, so I'm out of the pocket a little bit. Husbands, it's your responsibility to stop that. Wives, it's up to you to come along beside your husband. Because I'm pretty sure none of your kids have a job. They're not making money of their own. Right? If they're making money of their own, if they can buy their own stuff, and they live in their own house, then that's their business. But as long as they live under your house, you can stop that. Right? But it's going to take both of you. You can't, a house divided cannot, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Right? A house divided cannot stand. It's not able. Right? You've got to be joined together equally. And if you want to raise up a household that is good and righteous and filled with the knowledge of God, you can't let any You can't let your children divide you. And husbands, you're going to be held accountable for that. And if husbands, if you're caught and all you do during the weekend or during the week is watch that stupid box and don't do anything for the family, shame on you. Right? It's okay, Dad, to say, you know what, son? You know what, wife? I'm going to take that 56-inch idol off of the wall. I'm going to throw it out the door. Because your life, your soul is more important than cable TV. Right? I love you more than these. I'm pretty sure I'm looking out there. There ain't none of us professional sport players, right? We're all too fat for that. Right? Ain't none of us there. So, when I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Yes, amen.
Maybe, men, it's time for us to put away some childish things out of our... If we really want to show our wives love, maybe it's time that we take those childish things and do away with them. Men, if you're those kind of guys who sit in the basement all weekend long playing video games, or instead of coming home and eating with your family, you choose to work or golf. It might be golf. It might be something stupid. Riding bicycles. I saw an old man riding bikes. I mean, he should have been home with his family, right? And plus, he wore dresses in these nylon underwear things on the highway. Stop it. Come on. And you can tell that I'm digressing here. It's time for the men to really take on the fight. And it's time for the wives to come alongside the husbands and help them with this fight. We are in the last days, and there ain't many days to turn this thing around.
Yes.
There really isn't. And husbands, you need to be fathers like your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He loves you enough to chasten you. He loves you enough to correct you. Men, you've got to have the gusto enough inside of you to correct a problem. But you also need to be humble enough to admit when you're not right.
Amen.
You know? That's why you have your woman, your wife, to come along beside you. And y'all, too, make righteous decisions. Just decisions. And if you're not married, keep away from women till you are. Right? God will bring a wife to you. Right? Don't be just flopping it out there for everybody to see. Just don't. Stay chaste. Don't do that kind of stuff. And if you need to get married, get married. I suggest everybody who is a man that does not have a wife, you ought to get one. All right? Because they're good. When a man has found a wife, he has found a good thing if he finds a godly woman. But if you're not shopping in the right place, you're going to get the wrong food. Right? You can't go to a fast food store and get a steak. Not a real steak. You can get ham. Here I go. I got to shut up. I love you folks. Happy Daddy's Day. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Let me lift you up in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I pray, Father, that you would start raising up men. Lord, we come against this power, the spirit of Jezebel in America. Father, we come against her influence over the family. We come against this demonic power through the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. We cast it out. Through the knowledge that we have power to do that. Lord, I pray that you would encourage men and women to talk about these things, to get the rough stuff out, that they can be one in Christ to glorify you with their work in holiness. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.